Turn with me, if you would, to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Let us pray. Lord God, today as we read and continue the story of Acts and hear the travels of Paul, we are on a journey with you and your Holy Spirit today. Show us through the words of these stories the presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives today, and how the story that we live from day to day is the story that you are living out in the world to share the good news of your gospel to more and more people. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The story continues. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. When her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must we do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. The same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Smiley Blanton once said, "Anxiety is the great modern plague, but faith can cure it." Our age has a lot of anxiety in it. People feel anxious all the time. But we have the antidote. We have the cure here in the church, and that's for people to have more trust, more faith in the Lord. Paul has that same antidote for the people that he is sharing the gospel with in Acts. Here, as they go around Macedonia, they are able to share the cure to anxiety with lots of people who are feeling anxious. You see, the first thing that we learn about from our passage today is that the purpose of life is to trust in God. I know this sounds simple, but it's not always easy in practice. Sometimes trust in God can be the most difficult thing that you can do. When things are going well, sometimes it's easy. But when things are going badly, sometimes it can be really difficult to trust in the Lord. And effort is not the solution. As the comic book character Deadpool says, maximum effort. No, this is not the solution. In America, in the modern world, everything is about hard work and effort. But there's some things that you cannot get from the outside. There are things that you cannot earn and cannot achieve. The real salvation comes from the inside. The Lord is calling us to trust or faith or belief, however you want to interpret that word. Trust is the one that I like best. The world today makes belief about things that can't be proven, like science, or like the story of the little boy who went with his grandparents to see the Amish, and he asked his grandparents, why don't the Amish drive cars? Why do they drive around in horses and buggies? And the grandparent said to the little boy, well, they don't believe in automobiles. And with great wisdom, the little boy said, huh, can't they see automobiles? That's not what we're talking about. The world today makes things about what can be proven or seen. But what Paul and Silas were talking about is about trust, things that can't be seen. But the Lord is real. You cannot see the Lord. The Lord works from the most inward parts to the outward. The Lord may be speaking to you about faith today, to call you to trust, or a renewed trust, to call you to life, rather than the wearying, withering hope of self-reliance. The Lord calls us to trust in a new life within. This is the good news of the gospel that Paul and Silas were sharing in Macedonia, that God was calling us to this new life on the inside, to have trust and faith, to know that the Lord is real and that the Lord is real in our lives. The second thing we learn from our passage today is that the purpose of the church is that all would have this same trust in God. When Paul and Silas went out, their purpose was clear, to share the good news with everyone. That often got them into trouble with the authorities, like we see here. Paul shared the power of God with the girl who had the evil spirit. Paul, annoyed as he was, cared for her deeply and wanted her to have peace. And her employers were determined to have their revenge on Paul and Silas. If she could no longer make predictions for them and earn them money, violence and prison were what they wanted for Paul and Silas. They meant ill for Paul and Silas. But Paul and Silas were at peace, total peace. They knew that the Lord had a larger purpose for them, and if they were doing the right thing, then it didn't matter if you threw them into jail. That would be for the Lord too. They'd been here before, they'd be here again. Today, God places us in many situations where our faith can make a difference with that same peace. The world has many reasons not to believe in the Lord. The world wonders, where is God right now? Think about the shooting in Virginia Beach. People wonder in those moments, where is the Lord? One of the victims was an accountant. His name is Reverend Ryan Keith Cox. He was an accountant who had now become a preacher on the weekends. His brother said that the Lord had called him to preach. You see, their father had been a pastor for 56 years. And now he was finally following in his father's footsteps. Who knows what kind of faith this pastor showed in those moments of fear and tragedy. No matter what, we know his testimony to the Lord, that he had chosen the Lord and faith. You see, these moments of anxiety are when people need the Lord the most. And God has called us to be a witness in those moments. God is there despite the evil and the violence of this weekend there in Virginia Beach. God's calling us to make a difference in people's lives so that they don't need to turn to violence and revenge, so that they know that the Lord loves them no matter what it is that they're going through, and that they should love others also. The third thing we learn from our passage today is what should make the church rejoice. What should make us as the church rejoice is that more people believe in God. And that should cause them to rejoice as well. What we want to share as the church is the joy that the Lord gives us in the world today. Joy comes from deep faith. And the Lord wants us to both know it and share it. The Lord wants us to rejoice in those moments. Think about Paul and Silas with their jailer. Thrown in jail, put in the stocks, not able to move, in darkness, Paul and Silas sang hymns and talked about the Lord. You see, the Lord had other plans for their jailer. And after this earthquake, the jailer thinks his life is over, his honor, his employment, and his very life. As folks say today, you had one job. He had one job, keep the prisoners in the jail. And this jailer suddenly, after waking up from the earthquake, realizes he's probably failed in that one job. He's ready to commit suicide to end the loss of honor and to do it before the magistrates can kill him. But when the doors of the prison threw open during the earthquake, everybody could have left the jail. Everybody could have scattered and gone. But Paul and Silas showed that their faith was genuine and that they cared about the jailer, even though the jailer didn't care about them. That they would not harm him, even though they had been harmed. The jailer found faith in what could have been a very terrible situation for him, at a time when things could have gone poorly, disastrously. God is calling us to share our faith at the right time too. We have many opportunities in life that we might use to our own advantage, our own freedom. But the Lord offers us those moments as opportunities to share our faith, to suffer a little longer, to find a new strength in the Lord on behalf of others, to care for them even when they don't care for us. When the Lord calls us to the difficult moment, the Lord is calling us when others need the Lord. Paul and Silas rejoiced in their sufferings and hardships. They didn't whine or complain. Even though if you continue reading the story, you'll find that Paul had a get-out-of-jail-free card in his back pocket. He was a Roman citizen. He shouldn't have been there at all. He's going to play that card later, but not until the jailer knows the Lord. In jail, Paul and Silas sang happy, joyful songs. And now we hear that rejoicing reflected in the jailer. The one who had kept others in chains had himself been in chains and had his chains lifted. He and his family now rejoiced for the freedom that he had found in the Lord. For the Lord loves even him, even the jailer, the lowest of the low, the one who made people suffer from day to day. See how the Lord changes his behavior. Rather than making wounds, he heals them. Rather than keeping people in chains, he sets them free. This is what the Lord does. The Lord loves you today, so rejoice. The mercy of the Lord is great and from everlasting to everlasting. If we feel like we're not rejoicing enough or have enough to rejoice about, maybe we're not sharing our faith enough. And if we see the world in need, maybe we can wait a little longer, suffer a little more, and care. Because the Lord is doing something in those moments too. If anxiety is the great plague, we have the cure in the church. Let us embrace and share our faith today. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, you give us each day the grace to find a new trust and faith in you. Help us to believe in you, to rejoice, and and to share the good news of the gospel with others, so that they may rejoice in your good news also. So that all may come to know and believe in you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen.